Good morning. My name is John Simonson. I'm one of the pastors here today, and I get the joy of bringing the word this morning. If you were at the park service last week, then you heard the scripture. But if you know me, you know that I never give the same sermon twice because I don't write it down. So I'm not going to say the same thing. So today I'm going to read out of the Old Testament. But before I do, is the Old Testament still relevant? Yes. But we're a New Testament people, right? And how do we reconcile the difference between the mighty, powerful, vengeful God versus the grace, the mercy, and the personality of God we find in Jesus, right? So we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to read out of Malachi 1. 6 through 11, Malachi 1, 6 through 11. I'm reading out of the Message version, which I really enjoy, but it's got some language that may not sit right with you, but that's okay. The Bible was written to shock the society that it was written in, and this language sometimes can do the same for us today. So Malachi 1, 6 through 11. Isn't it true that a son honors his father and a worker his master? So if I am your father, where's the honor? If I am your master, where's the respect? God of the angel armies is calling you on the carpet. You priests despise me. You say, not so. How do we despise you? By your shoddy, sloppy, defiling worship. You ask, what do you mean defiling? What's defiling about it? When you say, the altar of God is not important anymore, worship of God is no longer a priority, that's defiling. And when you offer worthless animals for sacrifices in worship, animals that you're trying to get rid of, blind and sick and crippled animals, isn't that defiling? Try a trick like that on your banker or your senator. How far do you think it will get you? God of the angel armies asks you. Get on your knees and pray that I will be gracious to you. You priests have gotten everyone into trouble. With this kind of conduct, do you think I'll pay attention to you? God of the angel armies asks you. Why doesn't one of you just shut the doors of the temple and lock them? Then none of you can get in and play at religion. Listen to that. Then none of you can get in and play at religion with this silly, empty-headed worship. I am not pleased. The God of the angel armies is not pleased. And I don't want any more of this so-called worship. This is the word of God. It's true and it can be trusted. So, I mean, what do you think when you hear that language from God? The God of the angel armies getting on to the priest in Malachi. Well, first, it's very easy for us to dismiss that and say, well, we're not priests, that's you. You could point to me or Bill and say, he was talking to you. But, like I said, we're a people of the New Testament. We have to measure everything through the personality of God that we find in Jesus. And what does Jesus say? We're all priests, right? It's all of our jobs to go and make disciples. So we can't just easily dismiss this Old Testament language to the priests because really it's to all of us. But what's he talking about? He's talking about half-hearted worship, shoddy worship. He's talking about us sacrificing things that we're trying to get rid of anyway. Blind and crippled animals, right? Well, that's easy to kind of ignore because we don't sacrifice animals anymore. Thanks to Jesus, we don't have to show up here. The church does not have to be in the cattle business or the sheep herding business. We don't have to have livestock on hand that y'all can buy so that you can sacrifice and be cleansed of your sins. Amen, amen, amen. Because I wouldn't know what to do. But we don't have to do that anymore because we've met Jesus and we've gotten to know the personality of God. However, we still have to sacrifice, do we not? We're still called to sacrifice ourselves. We're still called to sacrifice what's important to us, our life. Laying down our life and taking up Jesus' cross. Isn't that what we're called to do? So what does that look like for us today? Do we still give half-hearted sacrifices to God? Y'all can answer. Y'all know me. I like a conversation more than I like talking to. Unless you put me in my other uniform, then I'll talk to you, right? 15 more weeks, amen. Do we still give half-hearted sacrifices? Well, it's easy for us to say no. It's easy for us to say no. Look, I'm here. I'm here on a Sunday morning. I'm watching online on a Sunday morning. I give my heart to God. Do we do half-hearted worship like it said in the scripture? You know what? That's hard to argue that we don't do half-hearted worship. I mean, if you're like me, when I'm singing, I'm worried about what the person next to me thinks about me when I'm singing, because I know I don't have that great of a voice. But is that truly worshiping God? And to be honest, this is something you won't hear Bill and I talk about very much, but money in church. You always hear, that's one of the things people don't like when they go to church, is because the preachers talk about money. And you won't hear Bill and I talk about it, but I will say this. It's not about what you give to the church. For us, it's not about what you give to the church. Yes, we rely on y'all to give so that we can perform the duties of the church, so that we can take that and money and turn it into power and lights and put it online. But mainly we try to focus on mission. But people hate hearing about money in church because that's something that's important to them, right? I mean, that's a defining object in our lives. I mean, I know y'all have heard the saying, show me your checkbook and I'll show you your God, right? But there's a lot of us that say, no, we tithe, we tithe, we tithe. But do you? Do you tithe full-heartedly? Do you worship full-heartedly through your tithes? If I looked at your checkbook and then pulled up your giving statement, or not your checkbook, if I looked at your annual salary and pulled up your giving statement, would it truly be 10%, or would you be giving 5% or 3% or 8% or 13%? I mean, we say we worship God, and God calls us to be good tithers, and even here in the book of Malachi, it talks about tithing, where God says, challenge me on this, see if you can outgive me, and I'll open up and pour out the blessings of heaven. Yet, when it comes right down to it, do we truly worship God through our tithes? Are we giving the money that God gives us, are we tithing that to him? Faithfully, honestly, wholeheartedly giving that money to God, not giving it to the church. It's not about giving it to the church. It's about giving it to God and being trusting of God. It's trusting who God says he is and trusting that God will do and deliver on his promises. And what he calls for us to do is to trust him with all of us, all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our beings, and give to him wholeheartedly, to worship him wholeheartedly. So really, when you look at your tithe, that's a part of what he's talking about here in Malachi. Are we saving the best to make sure we're comfortable? Are we saving the pieces that we want and giving God the pieces that we have left over? Because that's what they were doing in Malachi. And what did God say? When are one of you going to shut the doors of this temple so that nobody can get in with this half-hearted worship? Think about that. What about something other than money? Is there something else God calls from or asks of us? Yes. What about our time? What about serving him? What about giving of ourselves to those around us? God asks us to do that all the time. And y'all have heard that saying too, show me your calendar and I'll show you your God. I mean, I get it. I got two boys, one in middle school, one in high school. They play football. I got football practice 6 days a week. I got Monday night football games, Thursday night football games, Friday night football games. And the nights I'm not at football games, I'm usually up here. This week, we're starting back our bells. That'll be on Tuesday night. So what's that? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We got church on Wednesdays. Got football Fridays and Thursdays and Fridays. Saturday is my day off. And then I'm back at it on Sunday again, right? Should I complain about that? Should I try to take more away from God so that I have time to do other things that I want to do? Well, God tells us to take care of our family. Yes, he does. God tells us to have a day of rest. Yes, he does. God tells us that we should be happy. Yes, he does. But God also says he will make us happy. God also says the life I have for you is better than any life you can find for yourself. God says, worship me with your whole heart. Trust me when I ask you to tithe. Trust me when I say, give me your time. And I will give you a life better. And if you're not going to do it wholeheartedly, then why do it at all? That's a hard message. If you're not going to do it wholeheartedly, why do it at all? Lock the doors to the temple so that you're not wasting your time and my time. Man. Now that's the God of the Old Testament right there. Do it or something, do it or I'll abandon you. That's really the God of the Old Testament. That's what he told Israel over and over and over and over again. Not out of spite, not out of hate, not out of anger or frustration, but out of love. I am the best for you. I have the best for you. And all you have to do is come to me, trust me, and give me your all. And I promise you, you will have everything you could ever imagine, you could ever dream of. So we talked about money. We talked about time. What about our talents? What about the gifts God has given you? Are they just for you? Are they so you can sit and be happy and enjoy your life and be comfortable? Is that why God gives you talents? God gives you talents so that you can serve him and live the life he created you to live. I mean, I love how the message refers to God as God of the angel armies. This is the God we serve, the king we serve, the powerful God we serve. And he says, use your talents to glorify me. And we say, well, we'll give you a little bit. You know, I really don't like talking to other people. I don't like, you know, going outside of my comfort zone. So I'll do what I'm comfortable with. But the first time you put me in a position, God, to where it's going to make me a little nervous, shy, scared, or whatever, I'm going to keep those talents to myself and not let them come through. I mean, that's the definition of half-hearted worship, right? I mean, we keep what's best and we give God the rest. We do it in multiple aspects of our life. Not because we don't love God. I know that's not why we do it. We do it because we're scared. What happens if we truly worship God with our whole hearts? What happens if we look at our finances and say, I'm going to give 10%, no matter how it hurts, no matter how scared I'm going to be about paying my bills or whatever else. I'm going to give God my time. You know, in the Old Testament, in the whole Bible, it talks about a day of rest for God. A day of rest for God a week. One day a week. Do you give God one day a week? Or do you give him an hour on Sundays, maybe an hour on Wednesdays? Do you ration your time out to say, I can give you 4 hours this week, God? And our talents. You can't tell me that we're not created to be the body because that's what the Bible tells me. And we're so focused on trying to get everybody to think the right way, the same way, do the right thing the right way, that we're missing out on the fact that God created each and every one of us to be different, to do different things, to make the body work as a whole. Because the eye can't do what the foot does. And the foot can't do what the hand does. And instead of enjoying the differences that we have and allowing God to do amazing things through those differences, we bicker and argue and say, "You're so wrong. You don't belong in my church." And we boil it down. It's really just, we don't worship with our whole heart. We don't see God in all of creation. We don't allow God to do amazing things through each and every one of us because we're just trying to be comfortable and happy and keep things together. But God says, just lock the door and don't come in until you're ready. Until you're ready to be wholehearted. I mean, that's the God of the Old Testament. But how do we measure that and put that into our lives today? How do we say, where do we find Jesus in that? I have a question for you. Which God met you, or which God did you meet? I was thinking about this at work the other day, because a lot of people like to quote the Old Testament and talk about the Old Testament God. But which God did you meet? Did you meet the God that said, just shut the door and go away? Or did you meet Jesus who said, I see you where you're at. Come and follow me. Come and walk with me. Come and learn how to do this. Come and learn who I am as God. I know I met Jesus. Because if I would have met the Old Testament God where I was, when I was, when I called out to him, I was in one of those places Israel was where we forgot who he was. When we turned away and stopped looking at him, that's where I was when I called out to God. I could have been cast out. I could have been taken hostage and taken to a different country and put under bondage. But I met the personality of God in Jesus who said, come home. I have been scanning the horizon for you every day, waiting for that moment that you crossed, peeked over that horizon so that I could run out and meet you and embrace you and throw a party that you're back. The God of the Old Testament is the same God as the New Testament. But through the eyes of Jesus, we meet the personality of God where all this was said out of a place of love, out of a place of longing to give us what is best for us, to remind us how great he is, how powerful he is, how mighty he is, that all of the earth falls under his reign. And if we worship him wholeheartedly, we will step into a life that is beyond anything we can imagine, that is better for us, that is full of more joy. If we trust him with everything we have, our time, our talents, our money, that he will pour out the blessings of heaven on us. And we will be taken care of. The God of the Old Testament is Jesus. Full of grace, full of mercy, longing for us to come back into his embrace. But he wants us to be fully embraced. And not hold him at arm's length. He wants us to know how important it is to let go and trust him. The next scripture, verse 11, says, I am honored all over the world. And there are people who know how to worship me all over the world, who honor me by bringing their best to me. They're saying it everywhere. God is greater. This God of the angel armies, God is greater. That's our challenge. How do we be those people that worship God wholeheartedly in our everyday lives? How do we become those people that trust God with everything we have, who don't try to pick and choose what we let God have or what parts of our life we let God into, but who say, God, here is all of me. I'm going to worship you in every single aspect of my life. And I know that you're going to take me to a greater place than I could ever imagine. I'm going to live a life greater than I've ever dreamed of. And I'm going to be present where other people are so that they can find this life too. Because if we truly worship God wholeheartedly, then we can't help but to reflect that God in everybody, to everybody we come in contact with. Doesn't matter who they are or what they believe or how different from us they are, because that's who God made us to be. It's who God created us to be. Reflections of him. And we build that reflection. We perfect that reflection through worship. But worship has to be wholehearted, or it's pointless. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I think the hardest thing to do is to trust you. I think the hardest thing to do is to let go. Let go of control. To trust that you are this God of the army, or the angel armies, that you are this great, powerful, mighty king who wants nothing more than for us to have this amazing life. But in order for us to find that life, we have to just pour ourselves into you the way that you have poured yourselves into us. We have to worship like we mean it. We have to give everything in order to see and be everything. Lord, help us to take steps to start to do that. Challenge us in areas of our lives where you know we're holding back, where you know we're keeping the best for ourselves and giving you the blind and the crippled and the leftover parts of our lives. Lord, I pray that this week you will illuminate one area where we're holding back and give us the strength and the courage to begin to change that. And I pray that you will just open up the floodgates with your blessings and show us that life you call us to, so that we can see what it means when we say your kingdom here and now. Lord, that's what we pray. That's what we long for, is to see change, transformation, love, and grace. Come, Holy Spirit. Let it be. Amen.